Welcome to the Bioethics Channel, produced by the Center for Practical Bioethics. For more information about the Center, we invite you to visit practicalbioethics.org. This is Trudy Galblum, and this afternoon I'm visiting with Dr. Mark Hoffman. Dr. Hoffman was on the faculty of the Center's Fall 2013 Symposium on November 8th, where he spoke about biobanking and big data. We were so pleased to have you there, Dr. Hoffman, not only because your background and expertise were so relevant to the symposium topic, which was genomics, big data, and learning health systems, but also to have the opportunity to hear from you so soon in your new role at UMKC and Children's Mercy Hospital. So Dr. Hoffman joined the UMKC School of Medicine's new Center for Health Insights as director and the school's Department of Biomedical and Health Informatics and Department of Pediatrics as associate professor in August 2013. He also serves as the director of translational bioinformatics at Children's Mercy Hospital, which is a clinical affiliate of UMKC. Before joining UMKC, he spent 16 years as a vice president at Cerner Corporation, leading genomics, public health, and research initiatives. Dr. Hoffman's research interests involve the integration of genomic information with electronic health records, providing support for genomic clinical decision-making, and using informatics to accelerate research and analysis of large de-identified clinical data sets to reach new insights that improve clinical practice. Welcome, Dr. Hoffman. So at the symposium, you started off by explaining what big data really means, and you said that it could be defined by four V's: large volume, high velocity, lots of variety, and demonstrable veracity. Could you share an example or two how big data has been used to accelerate research in healthcare and translate into clinical practice?
Sure. Thanks for the invitation to speak together this afternoon. I think, first of all, it's important to point out that big data is more than a lot of little data, and all too often that is the viewpoint that's taken. The four characteristics of big data that I described, volume, velocity, variety, and veracity, are very important when discussing this topic. I think big data, as it pertains to performing analysis of information related to healthcare, has been very successful in, for example, evaluating de-identified information extracted from electronic health records. It's also been very successful in gaining population-level insights by evaluating healthcare claims data. Those are just a few examples where, by evaluating that data, for example, you can identify potential trends related to medication risks or emerging disease prevalence. And I think it's been a very valuable resource, and it's only now beginning to be utilized effectively.
But as we were discussing before, it also kind of freaks some people out when you say big data. I know there's some upsides and downsides to big data. Could you tell us about some of them?
Sure. I think that, as with every large resource, the important factor to keep in mind is appropriate stewardship of that resource. With respect to big data as it pertains to healthcare, obviously one of the most important steps is to treat that data with full respect for the patients from whom it is derived, and that includes a respect for their privacy, and also, I think, a respect in how that data is used in manners that really are likely to lead to the public good.
So what's being done to, or what could be done to mitigate the fears, the downsides, and in mitigating those downsides in our zeal to protect human subjects in research and clinical settings, how can we avoid creating unreasonable barriers to discoveries that would benefit the whole populations?
Sure, that's a great point. I think organizations that are effective stewards of healthcare data, first of all, they are fully trained and prepared in working within the HIPAA compliant framework, which means that identifiers that could link the data back to the person from whom it was derived, those identifiers are removed. Not only does that include name and date of birth or social security number, But there are steps that are also required that involve shifting of the dates or removal of the dates of service so that the data is truly de-identified to the standards of HIPAA. Secondly, I think processes around what the data is used for are important. Not all uses of de-identified data require IRB approval, but having some sort of process to ensure that the analyses are likely to be beneficial and meaningful is still important.
Mm-hmm. It sounds to me like IRBs are going to need to learn more about big data and how they're used. And is that?
I think many IRBs are, adapting to this new world of working with large data sets, because data that is truly de-identified begins to become exempt from IRB approval for use in specific projects. Often their role is to evaluate the goals of the research and then determine whether or not that analysis is indeed exempt from their approval. So it is, as long as the HIPAA process has been complied with, it is a very, it can be a very rapid process for the IRBs. But it is important to ensure their continued involvement.
Mm-hmm. So in the 3 months you've been on the job at UMKC and Children's, how different is that perspective from your years at Cerner? What are the big surprises?
So I find it very meaningful to be in a setting where closer to people who are directly involved in patient care, and I'm able to engage with researchers whose projects I find very meaningful. So on one day, I can go from meeting with a researcher working on glaucoma, and then the next day to a pediatric researcher working on inflammatory bowel disease, and then follow that up with a meeting with the infectious disease researchers at Children's Mercy. And to me, that's a very exciting way to apply the knowledge and skills that I developed during my time at Cerner Corporation. I feel like I'm trying very hard to hit the ground running and I'm eager to have some impact.
Well, like on one of those examples, if you were to go work with some, help somebody who's working on a glaucoma project, what kind of help would you be providing them? What would that be?
That's a great point. I see my goal and my role as collaborating with researchers to help them make effective use of technology, whether that's software or data, to accelerate their research. I think we need to do more to accelerate the process of research and to make it a more efficient process so that we can get to those meaningful answers more quickly.
So it's basically, is that, if I was to say, you know, what do you hope to accomplish at the Center for Health Insights and Children's Mercy and also by teaching medical students? That sounds pretty much like what your answer would be, but.
That's correct. I see our goals as twofold. One is to accelerate the process of generating new health insights through performing and enabling research, but then also working at the point of care primarily through technology and systems such as decision support to help healthcare providers make use of this rapidly emerging knowledge in their patient-based decision-making interactions.
Well, that's really been fascinating, and I'm sure we could go on for a while talking about this, but you have been listening to the Bioethics Channel of the Center for Practical Bioethics. I'm Trudy Gablum. For more information about the center, we hope you'll give us a call or visit practicalbioethics.org, and thank you for listening.